Okay, it is now 6 o'clock and we will call our meeting to order and welcome everyone this evening. Our first item of business is the approval of the agenda of April 22nd, 2026.
I'll move that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Next item is the acceptance of minutes. The first are the minutes of April 8th, 2026. Are there any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we'll accept those minutes as received. Next are the minutes of April 15th, 2026. Are there any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we will accept those minutes as received as well. Moving on to business arising from the minutes, anything to come before council this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to proclamation, National Volunteer Week, and I shall read that. National Volunteer Week, April 19th to the 25th, 2026. Whereas volunteers are the foundation of strong, resilient, and vibrant communities, contributing their time, skills, and compassion to improve the quality of life for all residents. And whereas volunteers in the municipality of Shelburne support a wide range of services, including recreation, emergency response, health care, social services, arts and culture, environmental stewardship, and community events. And whereas the dedication and generosity of volunteers strengthen community connections, foster civic pride, and create a sense of belonging. And whereas National Volunteer Week provides an opportunity to recognize, celebrate, and thank volunteers for their invaluable contributions and to encourage others to become involved in volunteerism. Therefore, be it resolved that I, Penny Smith, Warden for the Municipality of the District of Shelburne, do hereby proclaim April 19th to the 25th, 2026 as National Volunteer Week in the Municipality of the District of Shelburne. We'll now move on to economic and community development. The first item is Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw Amendment, first reading. And we have Jennifer with us from Brighter Community Planning and Consulting. Welcome and good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Great. We'll just share a brief presentation. I'm excited to speak with you about something other than the subdivision bylaw this evening. I think you heard me talk about that a lot. So there's something new on deck. I'm Jennifer Nichols. I'm from Brighter Community Planning, and I'm here to present inclusionary and bonus density some information. And this is something we've been working with staff on for several months and have think we've kind of found a proposal for Shelburne that fits. So we're just going to go through a little bit about what it is, the direction that the work is taking locally, some considerations and challenges, and then the options for council. So inclusionary or bonus zoning is being undertaken at this point because it's a commitment under the Housing Accelerator Fund. Incentive or bonusing density is a tool that allows municipalities to open the door for developers to build more than normally permitted in an area if they provide a public benefit in return. So that's incentive or bonus density. Inclusionary zoning is seen as a type of incentive or bonus density where the primary public benefit is the creation specifically of affordable housing units. So those practices may be mandatory or incentive based. So if they're mandatory, all developments must provide it as part of their approval. And if it's incentive based, it's voluntary. So there are benefits available, such as extra density or reduced requirements, to encourage affordable housing, and the developers choose whether to participate or not. different areas, depending on their planning framework, have different sort of additional benefits to offer to developments, housing developments. So based on the current planning policies for the municipality of the District of Shelburne, the benefits that could be applied are reduction in parking requirements, an increase in the allowable lot coverage percentage, increase in the permitted development height, or payment of cash in lieu rather than constructing affordable units. In other areas, inclusionary zoning has been popularized and used extensively in the United States, and in the US has been used extensively across the country to create many, many, many affordable housing units. In Canada, it has been much slower to be adopted, and it wasn't until very recent history that there was provincial enabling legislation to even allow it to be considered. So it's being used in different places in different ways, but it's still kind of in the early days. In Nova Scotia, there are a couple of municipalities that are using bonus or voluntary inclusionary zoning, including Bridgewater and Halifax Regional Municipality. East Hants, West Hants, and Kings County are all in the consideration stage for looking at inclusionary or bonusing policies. And interestingly, just last week, HRM has been proposing and looking into doing mandatory inclusionary zoning, and they've actually stepped back away from that as of last week, likely because they don't want to have any kind of negative pressure on housing starts, as that has started to soften a bit. So within the existing Shelburne planning policies, affordable housing already appears quite prominently. There are policies to encourage diversity of housing. There's a recognition that affordable housing is required. And there's also an existing policy around bonusing that says that it's the policy of council to permit a density bonus for housing developments with affordable housing component. So it was considered in the documents, but there wasn't a strict framework applied there. So again, the Housing Accelerator Fund, which I think most of you know, is really designed to help local governments find ways to cut red tape and build homes faster. So as part of Shelburne's Housing Accelerator Fund program, this initiative under enhancing programs and policies to help encourage affordable housing, this is one of the commitments that was made. So this work is satisfying that commitment. There are a lot of considerations for inclusionary or bonus zoning. One is, where would you apply? What kind of geographical coverage in what areas? So the proposal currently is in the suburban designation, that makes the most sense. The criteria, what types of benefits could be offered and what value should be assigned. So the kind of levers that exist within the planning documents, again, are the parking, height, lot coverage, and things like amenity space. Competitiveness in a regional market. So, you know, you want policies that will encourage affordable housing, but not policies that are going to be anti-competitive for the region. So that is why the proposal is to consider voluntary bonusing rather than a mandatory program. If HRM doesn't think they can make it work, then we don't think our rural municipalities need to lead the charge on that. And then how will the municipality define? And the proposal is for that to be defined as 20% below market as determined by the municipality using provincial and federal housing market data, which is a standard, that's a standard definition. With respect to administration, so some of these things we have proposals around, some of them are more internal conversations. The simplicity or complexity of policies. What's being proposed is fairly straightforward, and that is one of the best practices that The policies are easy for developers and residents and staff to understand. There's not a lot of complex calculation. How will the long-term affordability of the units be ensured? So the proposal is to apply to projects operated by affordable housing nonprofits or projects that are receiving funding for affordable housing through the province or the federal government. So the onus is on other organizations to ensure that long-term affordability. What policies will be amended? This proposal has both MPS and LUB policy changes as presented in the proposed amendments. And will the policies apply to multi-unit buildings only? This applies as currently written to both multi-unit and grouped dwelling developments. Cash in lieu, how cash in lieu would be calculated, that is kind of an internal finance question, but how will funds received as cash in lieu be directed? You already have your affordable housing grant fund set up, so that's a perfect place to direct any cash in lieu monies. So the proposed amendments, the detailed amendments are laid out, I think, in your package, but to summarize them, within the MPS, adding a section enabling affordable housing projects within the suburban zone by development agreement. So there was already a section for outside the suburban zone. So this is just adding a section for inside and expanding the section that is already existing on bonusing to further define the bonusing requirements and the potential developer benefits. Within the land use bylaw, it's adding a definition of bonusing, modifying section 10 to include affordable housing inside the suburban designation to the uses permitted by development agreement. And then in part 6 and 7, reducing the overall as of right height in the suburban residential commercial zone to allow for the availability of additional height as a bonusing provision. So there was not an appetite to, the policies are already by design fairly permissive so that there's not a lot of in and out and development agreements and a lot of administrative work. So this brings the as of right height down one story so that there's that additional story that is available as a bonus. In other jurisdictions in Bridgewater, they have density limits, so they're able to offer a density bonus, but in this case, rather than make a lot of changes that are going to make the policies less permissive, this just allows you to have that height as a bonusing provision. So the options before council are to proceed with the proposed amendments. So at this time, the amendments that I just ran through, you'll notice it doesn't include the calculations or the definitions around cash in lieu, because that is, you know, that math kind of has to be done. There's some additional internal work to be done there. So you could move forward with the amendments as proposed that would allow you to have the ability to have some bonus density available for developments right now. And then when the cash in lieu calculations are figured out, amend again to allow that other lever. Option 2 is to defer the amendments to allow for further analysis, including the development of the cash in lieu framework. Or the option 3 would be to direct staff to explore alternative approaches. You know, as I said, having gone through what other municipalities are doing, this feels like a way to really enable this bonusing to be available to those that are interested in receiving these benefits quickly without, you know, kind of getting into maybe longer process of looking for the details on cash in lieu or that kind of thing. And I definitely, we would not recommend at this time a mandatory requirement. Like I said, if they're not able, they don't feel able to enact that in HR, and we don't think any of the other municipalities in the province are going to be the one to lead the charge on the mandatory requirements, because nobody wants to put a damper on their competitiveness in in that regional market. And that's really all that I had. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer, for that. I don't know if Ms. Kane has anything that she would like to add at this point. You're welcome to do so.
I will just add 2 points. On March 3rd, Brighter Planning Consulting, along with, I think, the warden attendant and staff, hosted a webinar, so some public engagement consultation on this very topic. We did not have any participants from the public. As well, we have sent notification to adjacent municipalities asking for feedback prior to first reading. So that's in accordance with our public participation policy, and we did not receive any feedback from neighboring municipalities on this issue as well. So okay, that's all I had to add.
Good to know. Yeah. I do have one question about if we're going to move ahead with this, the cash in lieu, the timeline on that. What was the consideration for that? Is this something like 6 months, a year? What
we do have some additional amendments coming up, a request for rezoning, and some other housekeeping items with these documents. Because this was a half initiative that we were already behind the timeline on, we wanted to get this part done. So it's probably going to look more like the 3 to 4 month timeline for having all of those amendments in front of council.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that. There is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that. Deputy Warden.
Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne give first reading to the proposed amendments to the Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw to establish affordable housing bonusing within the suburban designation and direct staff to schedule a public hearing.
Thank you. Is there a seconder? Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on the motion. Councillor Richardson.
You asked pretty well the question I was going to, but the only concern I have is the cash in lieu, what parameters it would be. But I guess in that 3 month timeline would outline that. And hopefully, and again, just that it be timely.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. Councillor Corbin Irvine.
Thank you. Perhaps it would be at the time of a public hearing, but I keep coming back to thinking it would be wonderful to have some kind of pictorial of what that would look like wherever we're going to envision these subdivisions, to have some kind of pictorial a presentation of what that subdivision would look like on the landscape, just to give people an appreciation for a visual. And then as it relates to cash in lieu, I know there was feedback from someone that had said that they would trust that would sit on its own ledger line within the municipal. And I'm thinking that the finance department would certainly designate that. That would be an expectation, I would think.
Okay, Ms. Kane.
There are MGA requirements, I believe, under the cash in lieu and what that has to, how that has to be held and how that has to be spent back out.
Is it reasonable to ask for a pictorial?
I think so. I mean, we can easily show the designations in which it would be allowed, the showing any type of like mock schematic of what a subdivision would
look like. What it would look like on the landscape.
Costs some dollars, but we can definitely look into what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. Any other questions or comments? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I suppose no. Motion is carried. Thank you for that. Next is grants to organizations, and that's Ms. Smith. Welcome.
Good evening. So our grants to organizations this year was, we had a deadline of February the 16th. We received 35 applications, which totaled $97,676.08. Similar to last year, we have the different categories. We have the operating and community event, and then we have the capital grants. We had the new categories that we added last year, the partnership support, the elite athlete youth travel, and the sponsorship ad and donation requests. So we reviewed, and the one thing also that I just did want to note, that we really focused on some of the criteria of the financial need, the ability to contribute their own funds, additional funding sources that they had or where else they had asked, the community need, business practices, efficient use of resources, and that they had included all the documents that they needed from the previous year. So attached is the recommendations that we're making, and if there's
question. There is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that. Councilor Thorburn Erline.
Oh, sure.
your mic was lit.
Exactly. I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne approves the recommended grant amounts attached, totaling $66,019.14, to come from the 2026-27 Grants to Organizations, GL number 00-21950-791.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on the motion? I think there was a very thorough discussions on these amounts that are being put forward. Yeah. I don't know if there are any questions or comments on any individual.
Just item. To, if you'll note to the Sandy Point Community Recreation Group, that does show as a zero because council did approve the amount in the operating budget, or sorry, in the capital budget. So
just to do that.
Yeah. And the only other one that we didn't contribute any funds to was Woods Harbor Days, and that was just based on location. So we just had to make that decision.
Okay. And there's still about...
Yeah, so there is less than what we've been in other years. So last year, I think we were around 4,000, 5,000 or something that we still had remaining. So we have exhausted quite a bit of it. So you're aware.
$1,580 that's left.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Moving on to Recreation and Parks, Provincial Volunteer Representative 2026, and that's Mr. Dedrick. Welcome.
So I guess this is just a formality at this point. Kind of doing it backwards, but so just the way the timing works. So obviously, as you just heard in the ceremony earlier, Francis Scott was who were you recommending as a provincial volunteer representative. So that award ceremony takes place in September. Of course, there's a deadline. We have to submit an application to the province. I think it's by the end of May. And it does require a motion from council, which would be approved by council. And so rather than go through all the information, obviously, we did hear her volunteer efforts, many, many years of kind of volunteer service to the many communities she's lived in, but mainly in Eastern Shelburne County. Very deserving of the award. And I think Fran is very appreciative. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, lovely to see her being recognized. Councillor Cool.
Make that motion.
Please do.
Glad to. Be it resolved that the Council of Municipality District of Shelburne approved Francis Scott as the recipient of the 2026 Provincial Volunteer Representative Award.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
A second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
I guess just only to say that she...
That's what you're saying?
Sorry, I thought you were...
No, it's okay.
I guess only to say that after hearing what you had to say, her bio today was amazing, what she has done for our community. So very much well-deserved.
Yeah, one thing that stood out with me, or to me with Fran, is when you were mentioning all of the different activities and things that, as Councillor Shan said, that she's been involved with, there were decades of time spent with each, like 20, 30, 40 years with these different events and what have you. So, my gosh, I can't even begin to imagine the volunteer hours that Fran has given to the community.
Yeah, which I didn't say when I was up there, but when you add up the numbers, it's a long time.
Yeah.
Towards different organizations and groups and whatnot.
Yes.
And it seems like recognizing the fact that it's so difficult to get volunteers and volunteerism on the, at the go, that she's dedicated a lifetime.
Lifetime, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Thank you for that. Yes, Deputy Warden.
And I'd just like to say that if you probably asked the kids who made an impact on them, Fran made an impact over many generations, and it was probably kids' parents and their parents. So
yeah,
absolutely.
So I have a question. In terms of this process, could it unfold that exactly what you said, those children that have grown up could speak to, like, I don't know what the process is for being selected, that let's see, she is selected, to have those people in the audience to stand up and say what their life impact would be, that could create some really rich moments. I don't know if it's ever been done.
Well, I'm sure if you talk to anybody, like I said, at the ceremony, she knows everybody.
Yes.
She's coached like my older brother when he was a kid and relatives of mine. And and now she actually substitute teaches. I don't know if you're aware of that, but my son has had her as a substitute teacher. So it's very interesting.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Congratulations to Fran. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On to Operations and Protective Services. We have the monthly building report, March 2026. Another new dwelling and ending on a, I would say, a pretty high note of almost $8 million worth of construction for the year. Any questions, comments on that item? Hearing none, we'll move on to administration, fees and charges policy amendment, and that's Ms. Hartley. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay, so as noted in the staff report, there are just two areas of change included in the attached amended policy. So the first is sections 19.2 T and U, and they detail the FOI, POP, and photocopying fees. So we're recommending that they be slightly increased to match the FOI, POP regulations of the province. And then the second change would be to Schedule B of the policy, which details the RMRF fee changes that council made back in February, I believe. Yes, February. So there is a motion included for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you for that. Someone like to make that motion? Councillor Richardson.
Motion fees and charges policy amendment. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne approves the fees and charges policy as amended.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Pretty straightforward, I think. No questions or comments? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you for that. Okay, moving on now to correspondence. We have two items. The first is from Danielle Atwood, re-proposed amendments for dangerous dog bylaw. And so I think, first of all, a big thank you to Ms. Atwood for providing that to us. I mean, there obviously was a lot of time and care and thought that was put into the document. As council knows, the municipality's dog bylaw is currently being reviewed. And as part of that process, community input will be considered, including the information that has been submitted by Ms. Atwood. Are there any questions or comments? I see our CAO is on the line as well. I'm not sure if he has anything to add to that.
Thank you, Warden. I don't really have anything to add to it. I went through Ms. Atwood's proposed changes, and there are quite a few of the changes that are that fit within best practices that we'll look at potentially incorporating into the draft bylaw we're working on right now. There are, however, some of them that do not conform with best practices. That's a process that myself and the director of operations will go through on a point by point basis, just to bring council and residents up to speed. We're working on a first draft right now. The second draft will be worked on by the director of operations and our bylaw officer and myself. That'll occur in the next few weeks. Once that's occurred, we will then be going to our legal counsel for their feedback. And then once that's done, we'll be getting some stakeholder feedback from groups such as the RCMP and the SPCA. Once all of that's done, and we've got a draft that we think is reasonable to put in front of council, we'll then do that. Council can have their look at it. Once they've had their look at it and their input to it, we'll start the bylaw process at that time. And that also will include the ability for residents to provide their input. So Ms. Atwood at that time can certainly review the bylaw and provide comments directly to council. I think that's everything I have to say on the matter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that, and thank you for the timeline. Appreciate that. Any questions or comments, Councillor Shand?
I would just like to comment that I very much appreciate that a resident has taken the time mm-hmm. to put this much effort into something that is very meaningful to the community, and we need to have some changes made. It's very lengthy and time consuming what she's done here
yeah.
and something put together very well and very appropriate to be bringing forward to council. So just to say that we very much appreciate that a community member has dedicated the time to do this to make a change in their community.
Excellent. Agree completely. Thank you for that. Any other comments or questions on this item? Thank you. Councillor Thorburn Irvine, did you have a question?
Just to say that and you echoed that. The timeline's appreciated.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the next item, which is draft advocacy letter to the province refreezing NSPI fees. So you all would have had an opportunity to have a read of that. We'd like to send that through to our premier if there's consensus around the table to do that. I'm seeing nodding heads. Consensus, wonderful. Thank you. All right, we'll now move on to committee reports and warden update. Are there any committee reports for council this evening? Councillor Thorburn Irvine?
I have two. April the 16th, there was a Western County Regional Library Board Audit Risk and Finance pre-audit meeting, and it's very much like the municipalities. It's structured the same. And then today, we had an equity anti-racism meeting, and that was led by Adam. And so we're working through the process of public serving members. Yeah.
Deputy Ward.
Last week in Lapua, Police Advisory Board. Happy to report that at this time we have a full staff of police officers in our area. There is no vacant spaces, and so that's a very good sign. We was told that break and enters are up a little bit, so make sure you're not leaving keys in your cars and your purses or anything that's of any valuable. People are going through them. So, and we did get to meet Sarah. I forget her last name.
Lori.
She is being officed here at our detachment, and she's dealing with sexual assaults and intimate partner violence, and she covers the whole so short basically from wow. I think it's from Bridgewater or St. Margaret's Bay right through to Yarmouth wow. and Digby. So we're very fortunate to have her at our detachment. So she was there and give us a brief background, but it was a really good meeting.
Great. Gosh, that's quite a area to cover mm-hmm. for sure. Councillor Cool.
I wasn't at any committees, of course, but I did want to make mention of the visit yesterday. Deputy Ward and I did with the grade 5 kids. And I have to say this, we do have a new CAO. our CEO now gave one of the students an opportunity to sit in the chair.
Oh, wonderful.
And they literally took over, even told the deputy CAO that when she said that he was her, that the CAO was her boss, she said, no, I am.
Oh. A leader in training, huh?
So it was.
Did she?
And the other thing is I did drop into, for another reason, the health fair that they had at the thing. And I really want to say kudos to Robin Smith. She did an exceptional job, and listening to some of the folks as I walked around, gave her much credit, and I think she needs it. I wanted to cut in when she was here, but didn't, but I knew we could get to hear. Yeah. But I do want to mention that she did an exceptional job.
And so that was the community health fair that was held at the,
at the fire station. It was exceptional, and it went very well.
Great. Thank you for those. Councillor Shand?
I attended the events committee meeting on April the 15th. So planning is moving forward for Dock Street Days for the weekend of July 16th. I'm very excited about the number of businesses that have come forward to sponsor the events. There's been a really good uptake in that. The only concern right now is the increased cost for this year's street closure, which is $14,482. So this is going to use up a large portion of the budget. So we're kind of looking into options to try to help lower the cost of that. So hoping that we come up with something that will will be helpful to that. Also attended the arena meeting on April the 13th. The arena is officially closed for the season, but they're still working on freshening the arena up, getting it painted and everything ready for next year. The arena had an amazing season this year. They used 4,520 hours of ice time, which is very high for the arena. And because of the amazing volunteers, after expenses, they profited over $28,000 from the canteen and over $50,000 from bingo. So that's
like major numbers. Wow.
Brought in from those. Efforts may not be sustainable forever because it is a small group of volunteers that do that. However, their contributions this year were significant to impact the arena's budget and being able to be open and accessible to the community. So they've done a really great job this year.
That is amazing. Yeah. What a turnaround from even just a couple of years ago. So obviously some
volunteer for
dedication
and,
there.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful to hear.
Outside of that, I just had a quick connect with Molly from the Clean Foundation for the Shelburne County Climate Committee, and with Adam regarding the Accessibility Advisory Committee, just to kind of get me up to speed where I am new to those. So I had a little meeting with each of them just to kind of see where those things stand for the future.
Yeah, great. Excellent. Thank you for that. Anything further? Okay, then I've just got a couple here myself. So on April 14th, myself and Robin had lunch with a few healthcare professionals at the healthcare clinic, and actually Councillor Shand was there as well. It's always great to have the one-on-one chats with them to talk about what is working well and how we may be able to support them. It was a very positive lunch, I think. On April 15th, of course, Council set its tax rates at its special Council meeting. On April 20th, I attended the Shelburne County Leadership Meeting with the Deputy Warden and our CAO. And Nolan Young, our MLA, attended. And we had good discussion, I would say, on a number of issues that affect Shelburne County as a whole. Yesterday, as Councillor Cool mentioned, there was a visit from Mr. Stoddart's, I'm not sure if it was grade 3-4.
It was 3-4, not 5.
Yeah, from Lockport.
3-4.
And it was a class from Lockport. Yep. Yes, so that's wonderful to see them come. Oh, wow. And so Councillor Cool and Deputy Warden Wagner and staff, I'm sure, ensured that they had a great visit and learned some interesting things regarding the municipality. So thank you for that. Today, of course, is Earth Day, which is an annual event held on April 22nd and serves as a call to action to safeguard the planet, not only for us, of course, but for generations to come. And I didn't know this, but I was told that it's actually been in existence since 1970. That's quite a long time. So with events, of course, coordinated globally. And this morning, I participated with staff in an Earth Day cleanup. We picked up garbage at the school's smoking area, I'm not sure what they call it over there, and clean the ditches from Spa Road to Jordan Branch Road. I don't have the count number for the bags, but there were quite a few, 14, 13, okay. And I believe Councillor Thorben Irvine, you helped with staff collect on the Sandy Point Road?
The old salt plant road.
Okay.
And I never got off the corner because there were spore bags there. So I am going to tackle that road in its entirety. It's going to be a challenge.
Yes. And of course, as mentioned, I believe we from Mr. Dedrick, we had a wonderful volunteer reception prior to this meeting, recognizing a volunteer in each district as part of Volunteer Week. And I would just like to say again, on behalf of council and staff and our residents, a huge thank you to all. The time that they give, the things that they do, sometimes it's seems big, sometimes other times it seems small, but it all makes a huge difference. So and it matters more than probably what they even realize at times. So our community is definitely a better place because of them. And one last note, important note as well, today is also Administrative Professionals Day. So a big thank you to the municipality's administrative team. We absolutely appreciate everything you do for council and for our residents in the community. So today was a big day, volunteer reception, Earth Day, Administrative Professional Day. What's going on today?
Can I comment once again? I meant to do it a minute ago, but I forgot to. Really want to thank Nicole and folks who worked yesterday with that class. Mm-hmm. They were exceptional. We had everything organized.
Excellent.
And do want to give her credit on that. So.
Thank you, Nicole and others, very much for that. Okay, it is now, not sure what even what time it is here.
6:41.
And we will adjourn our council meeting for this evening. Thank you, everyone.